You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Wallace Schultz on The Lutheran Hour. Its title, New Hope for Marriage. Now here is Dr. Schultz.
Is it possible to predict nowadays which married couples will stay together and which ones will split or divorce? Yes, this prediction is now possible. At least this is what some social scientists are now saying. After observing 2,000 married couples over 20 years, researchers at the University of Washington now claim they can predict which couples will stay together and which couples will divorce in 90% of the marriages they study. If this is true, it is amazing. And if it is true, there are surely millions of young couples who would eagerly seek a professional opinion. These marriage partners who have just launched their marital boat into the uncertain waters of our society would surely wonder, is their own marriage destined to last, or is their marriage predestined to be destroyed? Now, of course, most married couples could hardly imagine being part of a study where their actions and their facial gestures are recorded on a camera, where body functions like heart rate and blood pressure are monitored, and where psychologists and psychiatrists observe and analyze their marital relations. Many of us might be outright suspicious of such a study. However, some of life's most questionable social research can sometimes offer amazing insights. For example, the results of the University of Washington study show that the success of a marriage has really very little to do with how much in love a newly married couple feels, or even claims to be on their wedding day. The endurability of a marriage has also very little to do with how much affection they demonstrate or exchange before or even immediately after their marriage. And so then, if it is not how a young couple feels on their wedding day or how many sweet nothings they whisper into each other's ear, if this is not what determines the future of their marriage, then what does? According to the research done by the University of Washington, one of the key indicators of the potential success or failure of any marriage is the attitude. Yes, the attitude the newly married couples began to demonstrate almost immediately after the marriage ceremony. Researchers have found that of those couples destined for disaster, 10% of their comments directed toward their spouse already in the early days of their marriage were insults. Continued research concluded that couples destined for divorce were hurling five times as many insults at each other as happily married couples were. The result of this escalating guerrilla warfare is inevitable. One author observed that in the end, relentless negativity takes control, and a couple then cannot go through even 1 week without a major blow-up. Another researcher pointed out that nasty and even subtle cutting remarks in a marriage are very much like cancer cells in a body. If they are permitted to grow unchecked, they will eventually kill the marriage. And so, the key thing that destroys so many families and wrecks so many marriages is not so much a lack of money or an absence of beauty or even the lack of physical relations. Rather, that which leads to the destruction of a marriage is often simple and subtle cutting remarks and caustic comments. And so, what should our reaction be? Over the past three decades, in response to our nation's spiraling divorce rate, tons of books offering marital advice have been published, clinics have been opened, and scores of seminars are conducted every week, all for the purpose of overcoming family feuds and marriage misery. Each of these efforts may certainly assist in understanding the problem, but the most simple, yes, the most clear and the most effective advice and approach is still found in the Bible. This may sound shocking to some. However, biblical advice is now being given great credence, even in recent secular marital studies, which demonstrate convincingly that the future of a marriage depends primarily on the day-to-day attitude, yes, the attitude, and the simple communication which takes place between marriage partners. In the Bible we read, "And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Jesus Christ has also forgiven you." These words from the Bible may certainly sound true, yet for you at this moment, they may seem impossible. Forgiving your spouse for what he or she has done may at this moment seem to be the farthest thing from your mind. At this point in your marriage, you may have convinced yourself that you are right, at least most of the time, and that if there is going to be any thaw in your icy marriage, it is going to have to be the responsibility of your partner to take the first step. This, however, is not how God would like it to be. God is asking you today to simply forgive your spouse, and He is graciously urging you to overlook many of the weaknesses of your marriage partner. The Heavenly Father knows that for you, this is very, very difficult, but it is not impossible. You see, everything God asks us to do, He also empowers us to carry out. The power God so freely gives to us is the power of the crucifixion cross. The secret of tearing down marriage barriers is also the crucifixion cross of Christ. The central symbolic meaning of every cross that you see on church steeples or on necklaces or on other types of jewelry, the focus of this symbol is always forgiveness. When Jesus died on the cross, He died for your sins. And the most important point is this. When God sent His Son to die for your sins, He didn't first discuss whether or not you were guilty and whether or not you were worthy. God did not hesitate to send His Son to die on the cross because in His love, God wanted to help you. God has forgiven you in Jesus Christ, and He has saved you from your sins because He loves you. This good news of the gospel is not only great to hear, this good news, this gospel, is empowering. And through His gospel, God enables us to do things that you and I could never do on our own. Therefore, with the saving love of God in your heart, you can now also look at your spouse, who may frequently fail, and you can express the same sincere forgiveness that God has already graciously shown unto you. Forgive each other, the Bible says, just as God in Jesus Christ also has forgiven you. Let's also mention this. If you are now having a problem in your marriage because the only things you can see are the weaknesses of your spouse, it might be a good time to take a good look at yourself. Be careful, though, because you might be shocked to learn that you are not all that great a catch either. And before you point out the shortcomings of your spouse, ask yourself this question. Would you like to live day after day with someone who has all the idiosyncrasies and the quirks and the shortcomings that you have? Some time ago, a housewife came home to her husband. She said, "You know, I met a very nice elderly gentleman at the grocery store today, and I hope I get to talk to him someday in heaven." The husband then answered, "Well, what if he is not in heaven?" The wife paused a while, and then she said, "Well, then you talk to him." This little humorous event displays in a big way how little digs can do such great damage in the marriage relationship. In healing marriage difficulties, the question often arises, which partner should say, "I am sorry," and take the first step? In His Word, God speaks directly to this question. And in so doing, God is saying to husbands, love your wife. You husbands, God is not suggesting that you love your wife, if she is acceptable or if she is perfect. Love your wife for what she is. In Ephesians chapter 5, we read, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church." This simple biblical illustration teaches a powerful lesson. You see, the church has never, ever been perfect. It is even often rebellious toward God. And yet, in His grace, God loves the church anyway, in spite of its many shortcomings. And it is to be the same way with you husbands. Even when your wife fails, God is asking you to love her. This attitude of God is the key ingredient that will surely start your marriage back on the road to happiness. Let me here add also another insight learned through the research at the University of Washington. These researchers learned that a variety of little things can upset an entire home and a marriage. But they also learned that when a husband's nervous system gets upset, he often turns over the whole apple cart, as we say. More than any other person, the attitude of the man or the husband can often upset the entire household. Husbands, in an era when it might be most macho to win every argument and to always be the king of the marriage mountain, try a new approach. Try God's approach. Be kind. Yes, be kind and tender-hearted towards all members of your family. Forgive them if they fail, just as God in Jesus Christ has already forgiven you. And so then, my friend, don't expect to read one book or don't expect to find some weekend seminar which will suddenly solve all your marriage problems. Happy marriages do not result from a quick fix. Happy marriages do not happen overnight. Happy marriages are a result of relationships, and building a good relationship often takes months and even years. Happy marriages are the result of two different people, often with totally different personalities, who have learned that sincere forgiveness can make the impossible possible and that kind words are able to make the unlivable enjoyable. Be kind to one another, the Bible says, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Jesus Christ has also forgiven you. So then, this is the place to start. Even if your marriage relationship now seems far beyond repair, and even if you have been living with your spouse for months or even years, and now you and your marriage partner have no relationship except that you have grown to tolerate each other, there still is hope. There is a way to break the ice. Yes, the first step is to ponder, to study, and to prayerfully meditate upon our text for today. Forgive each other, just as God in Jesus Christ has also forgiven you. Begin by considering prayerfully and seriously what God has so graciously done for you. Your spouse may not be perfect, but then you have not been perfect either. And maybe you have tried to persuade your spouse of this, but you can never convince God of this. In the privacy of your mind, you know that your thoughts, especially those toward others, are not always positive. And in the privacy of your heart, you must surely be fully aware of your burden of guilt, especially regarding your past failures. God the Father is now inviting you to come to Him for unconditional forgiveness, for cleansing, and for hope. Surely this must be good news to you, that God wants to deal with you not on the basis of the judgment that you deserve, and not on the basis of your failures in your marriage in the past, but on the basis of love and grace and forgiveness that He so freely offers. Let this then be your simple prayer. O Lord, enable me to see Your perfect forgiveness of my terrible sins. Enable me, like the Apostle Paul, to desire to live in the guilt-liberating power of Your Son's Easter resurrection. Amen. In response to your sincere prayer of repentance in His Spirit, God will indeed assure your heart of His perfect forgiveness for all of your past mistakes, and He will also assure you of strength for the future. And so, with this hope and with the blessed assurance of the Lord's total forgiveness in your heart, now go to your spouse and do what God has already done for you. Forgive your partner with no questions asked. This is what God in His Word is saying to you. Be tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Jesus Christ has also forgiven you. Oh, my friend, take a hold of the forgiveness that God in Christ is now offering you, and extend this forgiveness to your family, to your spouse, to your friends, and to those around you. For when you do, God will surely bless you too. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.